Hey, it is so good to see everyone today. We were out of town last week, but it's so fun to be back. And those at Hope Church at home, God bless you. We've been in a series called Life in the Ring, and today kind of sums up the series, but I think next week we're going to do something really special. And here's a quote that I think will kind of head us in the direction we're going today. It says this: call it guts or call it courage, one of the most underestimated characteristics that all boxers need, and I'll add this, all Christ followers need, all great boxers have to learn how to take a punch. All great Christ followers have to learn how to take a punch. At some point in life, you can't always duck. Now, the only time I've really been punched in the face was with a tomato. And so, like, I didn't grow up boxing. I didn't grow up a fighter. Matter of fact, my high school was known just as a really mellow high school. There was a lot of pot in my high school, and so no one was really fighting. They were all just kind of hiding in, you know, woodshop behind the fan, smoking pot. So everyone was pretty mellow. Why did I tell you that? Well, to tell you that I'm not really a fighter, but growing up in California, we would go out and there was huge fields. So there was a huge field of tomatoes and we were having a tomato fight. Well, when it was all over and everything was good, I was on the handlebars of a bike going one direction and my brother was on a bike coming the other direction. And before I knew it, I mean, this is like a head-on collision. He hits me in the face with a huge tomato. First time in my life, I saw stars. I mean, it almost knocked me out. And how life goes sometimes is that we have to take a punch. We got home Monday, and Monday night, probably about 3 or 4 in the morning, I just woke up and I was kind of praying, and I felt like the Lord dropped into my heart, here's an area, 3 of them, where we all take a hit. Every one of us. And so how do we deal with that? And, you know, there are so many examples I could give in life. But let me just give 3. They all kind of revolve around David, then a little bit with Peter. So David is a shepherd, but he goes and sees his brothers. And they're on the battle line. I mean, they are ready to engage with Goliath, and they're all terrified. David sees his brothers and they're like, get out of here. And he says, what is the problem? So David says, I can take care of this. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David goes to the king and they have a conversation. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Hey, David, you're not good enough. David, you're a cute little kid, but this is a warrior, and compared to him, you're a weakling. You're not good enough. How many times have you taken that hit? Just in life, where you realize, I'm not good enough. I wanted that job. Well, I'm not qualified. I wanted to do this, and they gave it to them. I tried my very best, and I wound up not good enough. It's almost unavoidable. Hey, David, you're a cute kid, but you're not good enough. I love how David responds to this, and I think you're going to appreciate this as well. And here's why. David didn't focus on only who he was. He focused on whose he was. He didn't just focus on, well, you're probably right, I'm a kid, and this is a huge giant, and he didn't focus on who he was. He focused on whose he was. And that's how he responds in chapter 17, verse 37. The Lord rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. You know what? I may not be strong enough, but I serve a God who is really strong, David said. And he was encouraged in that. And then I like what Saul says. Saul says to David, go and the Lord be with you. In other words, if you're that stupid, okay, go and I hope there's a God and I hope he's with you because you're going to need it. And so David goes out into this battle, not in who he is, but in whose he is. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I love this. Because there's times in life where we take a punch and we just feel like, well, maybe I am nothing. Maybe I'm really not good enough. Maybe this is for somebody else. And in those times, you need to realize it's not just who you are, but whose you are that makes you important. God so cares about you. God so loves you. And when we struggle, I mean, it's not just David. I think of Peter. Remember in Luke chapter 5 where they had fished all night and then Jesus kind of shows up and says, hey, Peter, I'd like you to fish again. Peter's like, you got to be kidding me. We fished all night and okay, I'll just do it. And so, you know, if you've ever read Luke chapter 5, you kind of know where I'm headed. He throws his nets out, and then the nets are, you know, bursting. He's screaming to someone on the shore, get the tartar sauce, we are in. You know, and all of a sudden he realizes there's Jesus. And this is what the scripture says. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, I mean, this is like the miracle catch. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave. I'm a sinful man. When he encounters Jesus, there's this long pause and he realizes, I am not enough. And I love what Jesus says. It says, for he was awestruck by the number of fish he had caught, and so were the others. But this is what Jesus says to him. Then Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be fishing for people. In other words, hey, Peter, I know who you are. But it's not how you have to live the rest of your life. I know who you are, but I believe in you, and I know what you can become. And what is the connection here between David and Peter? They connected to the Lord. And when you and I connect to the Lord, incredible things happen. So let's just imagine for a minute you are enough. And even if you are enough, there's a second punch. And oh, did David take this. Even though David was enough, there was a point in his life when he just didn't do enough. Hey, David, I know you've been in battle for months. I know we have slayed the enemy together, but right now, you didn't do enough. Do you remember that scene in 1 Samuel? David arrives home. And where his family had been, where all of the warriors' families were, the place had been crushed and raided. And these people came in and stole all of David's family and all of the warriors' family. So, hey, David, I'm glad what you did, but right now you're not enough. And all of our families have been taken. Just pause there for a minute. what's that thing that you would say, oh, if I could have or should have or would have, life would be different now. That regret that just knocks us off our feet. I mean, this was so bad for them. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel 30, when David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could not weep anymore. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk about stoning David. Wait a minute. David had been fighting with them, for their families for months. Could you imagine how he felt? I've been a warrior, I'm exhausted, and now even the guys who have stood with me are wanting to kill me. It's my fault. I should have done more. I should have been more. And there's times in life where we just aren't enough. And what do you do with that? It was a tough blow for David. I really liked this quote that I read recently. Even the best fighters get hit hard. It takes guts to get in the ring and fight knowing you're going to take a hit. It takes even more guts to keep fighting once you've been hit and it hurts. You know, it's one thing to realize, you know, I may not be the smartest person. I may not be enough, but it's another level when we play the I coulda, shoulda, woulda, and maybe my whole trajectory of life would be different. I want to read with you David's response, the last part of that sixth verse. Let's read the whole verse. David was now in great danger because his men were bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Come on. Times in life are hard. You cannot always make the right decision, even if you want to. And there are times where we just need to say, God, would you help me? And we're in those times of regret and concern. I love this proverb. It says, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And sometimes we can't even lean on our own understanding. But in all our ways, we acknowledge him. And he's going to direct us on a straight path. I mean, sometimes life is hard. And you wish you would have done something and you just couldn't do it. There is strength for you and me today when we realize it's not just who I am, but if I focus on whose I am, it makes a difference. And sometimes we're just not going to be enough. And even the people that we love around us, the warriors who've gone to battle with us, are thinking about bad things because life didn't go well. And where do we find strength? We still can find strength. We still can find hope in the Lord. So sometimes you're going to take a hit because you're not good enough. And sometimes you haven't done enough. And then another punch that, boy, it hit David hard and also hit Peter hard was the punch of you're not strong enough. In 2 Samuel, it talks about the spring of the year, all of the kings go out to battle, but David decided not to go out to battle. And he sent out Joab to fight the Amorites. And it says, David stayed behind in Jerusalem late one afternoon. After his midday rest, David got out of bed, and he was walking on the roof of his palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. So David took a break. David watched a bath, and he wasn't strong enough. And then things spun out of control for David, and there were consequences. And David lost his kingdom. And David committed murder. And he felt the wrath of God. And remember Peter? I mean, it's not the same, but it kind of is. That night that Jesus is speaking to them and saying, tonight is the night and you're going to fall away. And there's a prophecy going to be fulfilled, and it says, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And Peter replies, even if they all fall away on account of you, I never will. Have you ever said, God, I will never, ever do this? Truly, I tell you, and Jesus is responding to Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. You see, there's sometimes when you're just not strong enough, and this is what happened to Peter, and sure enough, Jesus was right, and Peter denied Jesus three times. And this is what the scriptures say in Matthew 26, verse 75. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind because he just did it. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you ever even knew me. And he went away weeping bitterly. I don't know anybody who is strong enough all the time and doesn't ever succumb to temptation. There are consequences. David lost the whole kingdom. Peter is weeping bitterly. To understand all of it, you kind of need to read how they responded. I mean, David writes this psalm, and again, we won't go through all of the dynamics, but in Psalm 50, verse 2, David is just pouring out his heart in this writing, and he says, wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. David sinned boldly, but he also repented boldly. He owned up to what he did. And it goes on in that psalm. He says, forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will be joyful and sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You don't desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You don't want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Boy, David really messed up. but he owned up to it, and he did his best to kind of reconstruct what was left over and serve the Lord. I mean, the scripture even recalls after this that he was a man after God's own heart, but it was hard. And then when I think about Peter, and if you read about Peter, he just went back to fishing. He's like, you know what? I've denied the Lord. I don't know what worse sin you can commit. I was so strong and so bold, and I'm the one who said, if everybody falls, you count me in. And I didn't do it. So now I count me out. You know what I love about Jesus? He goes and finds Peter. You know what I love about the fact that when all of us fail, God's not looking at you and saying, I hate you. He's saying, ho, ho, ho. Own up to where you've been. Own up to where you've done, what you've done, and let me draw you back. In John chapter, I think that's chapter 21. Somehow I wrote John chapter 2, and I'm like, no, that's not right. At least they've got it right up there. Thank you for whoever did that. When he had finished eating, of course, they're out, you know, fishing and another big catch, and all of a sudden, it's time for Peter to look Jesus eye to eye. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. In other words, you're not done, but it's time to move on. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, you know that I love you. Jesus said, well, then take care of my sheep. Take care of my people, Peter. The third time. What maybe is going through Peter's head? Okay. This is really nice, Jesus. I denied you the first time, so he asked me if I loved you once. Thank you for remembering that I failed. Oh, Jesus, you asked me a second time. Oh, yes, I did deny you twice. Thank you, Jesus, for rubbing it in my face. And then Jesus asks him a third time. I don't think he was rubbing it in his face. I think he was saying, Peter, I'm serious. I forgive you. I have a job for you. Hey, Peter, I don't think you really are getting this. I forgive you. I have a job for you. And then a third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him that third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. In other words, you don't have to remind me of what a failure I am. You know everything, and you know if I love you or not. And I think, Jesus, one more time, and really we could take more time in this, and each time the word love is used there, it's actually a different word in the Greek, and the depth of this gets stronger. Jesus, in the end, you absolutely love me with an unconditional love that you are going to be what I've called you to be. And then Jesus says to him again, feed my sheep, Peter. I don't know what you have done, and it's really not my place to know. But I know this, David was a murderer, and God restored him. There were consequences. There's always consequences. And unfortunately, some sins have more consequences than others. But I can tell you, Peter, in his head, was devastated. That's why he quit and went back to fishing. And then Jesus went and found him. And Jesus reminded him It's not just who you are, it's whose you are. And I've got a job for you. I have a really important job for you, Peter. So get out of the boat and let's start doing what I told you in the very beginning. When you were on your knees and said, I'm not enough, and I reminded you at that point, you will be enough because you're going to follow me, and I'm going to make you the kind of person that leads others to know me. If you want to live life in the ring, I mean, if you really want to be a Christ follower, then you've got to learn how to take a punch. And I just gave you a couple of little examples today. There's times where you're just not going to be able to duck. And some punches, like that tomato that hit me in the face and I literally saw stars, sometimes you don't even see it coming. And sometimes you deserve it. And just sometimes this is what life is. It's not always easy. We all know that. Look at how we're seated. I mean, there's a bunch of us here, but there's all kinds of room between all of you. And, you know, some of us are wearing masks and, you know, you can hardly breathe. And it's all kinds of things. Life is hard. But when life is hard, I want to encourage you to remember whose you are. Jesus died for you. And not only did he die for you, he wants you, when you feel like you're not enough and you're just swimming in regret, he wants you to be able to look to him and to find strength to take one foot and put it in front of the other. And then, like all of us do, at some point, we realize that we weren't strong enough and we make a decision. I want you to know that God forgave David. Again, there were consequences, but God forgave him. And Peter became one of the greatest followers that the Bible records. But he failed miserably. I don't like when I'm not good enough. I don't like when I didn't do enough. And I don't like when I'm not strong enough. But I know that we have a God who cares, and I know we have a God who can make a difference in our lives. So let me read one last scripture to you. And then, Kevin, I'll invite you to come, and they're going to lead us in a song. And then I think Aaron's going to lead us in a little communion devotion. And here's how we're going to do communion. Just like we're doing everything on Sunday mornings, we're thinking through how do we do this and try to keep people safe. And I don't want to do church if we can't do it in a way that keeps people safe. But on your way out, there's a little communion that you can take. And as you take that communion today, would you do me one favor? Would you realize that his body was broken for you, that you might find strength? His blood was shed for you, because Jesus knows this side of heaven, we're not always going to get it right. And we can be forgiven and given another chance. One last verse I want to read. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. None of us are perfect. If we confess our sin, well, that's what David did. And Peter was so broken because of what he did, he quit Jesus and went back to fishing. And Jesus had to go find him, and they had to have a hard dialogue. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That is a key to finding victory in the ring. I've never seen a boxer or a boxing match where one of the opponents just beats themselves to death. You know, we're like, no, don't hit me. Let me hit myself. And he hits himself enough that he knocks himself out. But that's what we can do if we don't understand the scriptures. Don't pretend you're not a sinner, because we all are. And that's why Jesus died. You're not going to be sinless, but the more you grow in Christ, I believe you will sin less. But none of us are perfect. And here's the way out: to be honest with the Lord and allow Him to cleanse us. So as you receive communion today, would you just in that moment say, Jesus, thank you that I can be forgiven, and would you wash me? Would you wash me and purify me? Well, just so you know, some of you I haven't met today, but I just love you all. I love the people of Hope Church, and what an honor to be back with you this week. Thank you for coming, and Hope Church at Home, I love you as well, and every week I sign in and say hi to you, and I'm just so excited that we haven't lost church, we haven't lost Christ, we are still strong, we are still taking one step in front of the other, and God is going to see us through. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Kevin, and then Aaron, if you'll come. God, thank you. Thank you that those times when we're not enough, you can remind us it's not just what we do that matters, it's what we're becoming that matters. And what really matters is what you say about us. And God, there are those times where maybe we feel like we're enough, but we just didn't do enough. And Lord, would you help us to do what David did and find strength in the Lord? And God, there's times when we're not strong enough. Would you help us to turn our hearts towards home? Would you help us to turn our hearts towards you and learn from these examples in Scripture? Father, I thank you for the friends at home and the friends that are here. I bless them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would be most merciful to them, that you would be gracious to them, Lord, that your face would radiate upon us, God, and that you would give us peace as we seek after you. Thank you, Lord, we pray. As we sing this last song and receive communion together, Lord, help us to think of you and all that you have done. Amen.